Amen. Have you made up your mind? Amen. I made up my mind. Did y'all mean that? I made up my mind. I'm going to praise Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise Him. It doesn't matter what others may do. I've decided I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship Him because I know that's where the victory is. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of demonic strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the best weapon you have is praise. Hallelujah. That's the best weapon you have. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him in the good times. Praise Him in the bad times. Praise Him in the indifferent times. Praise the Lord. That's where the victory is. Hallelujah. It is in praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Yes. I know that's where the victory is. It is in praising the Lord in all things. In everything, give thanks. Did you hear that? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? All of us, right? Concerning me, concerning you, concerning everyone. In everything, in all circumstances, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. That's better than some of the things that get in our mouth. Right? There's some things that get in our mouth that doesn't help anyone. Doesn't build up anyone, doesn't bless anyone. Wrong thing gets in our mouth. But when His praise gets in our mouth, everyone is blessed. And God is blessed because we got His praise in our mouth. Weapons of our warfare imply that there's an enemy somewhere, right? If we're in a warfare, there must be an enemy somewhere. And we can get victory over him with the weapons of praise. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. That's on about page 423 in my Bible. Page 423. Here is the record that we have from Nehemiah, a servant of the Lord. And he is among the captives or the people of Israel that had been carried away to Babylon, and some people returned from Jerusalem. Hanani returned from Jerusalem and from Judah, and some of the other men was with him, and I questioned them, he said, about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and distress. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, first he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and then he said to the Lord, O Lord, he didn't just say the first thing that came into his mind, but after a while, he formed a prayer, and this is what the prayer that he prayed said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this king or this authority. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, you know that right away after that prayer was prayed, he went to the king. And since his countenance was falling, he was grieved in his heart by what he had heard. It grieved his spirit. And he wasn't a happy camper, I tell you, not by any stretch of the imagination. He was under a heavy burden because of the information he had received regarding Jerusalem and the people of God. For the walls were broken down. The people had no defense against the enemy. And he immediately went into prayer, and then he went before the king, following his regular routine and doing his duties before the king, and the king noticed that he was in a terrible shape and began to ask him, what is it you want? What is it you want? And then he said, I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. How can I not be grieved when I hear of the condition that Jerusalem is in, with the walls broken down and the people exposed to the enemy's attack? How can I have any peace in my heart as long as this is happening? And the king says, at his request, he said, I want to go back. I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to see if I can do something about this condition that is there in my homeland, in my country. And the king granted him his request, and Nehemiah went along with several people. He went back to Jerusalem, a long and tedious, hard journey. He went back to Jerusalem. And after he had been in Jerusalem about 3 days, the scripture says that he went by night. He went out and began to look at the conditions of the wall. He made a survey. He needed to know what to do. And he needed to know how to approach this matter of rebuilding the walls of that city. And so he took with him a few of the people. They're not named. One of them, I think, was named. But it says they went to the different places where they could view the wall and returned, and he at that point had not told them what was in his mind to do, what he believed God wanted him to do. But after they had observed the conditions of the wall, he then began to reveal to them what he believed God had told him to do. He said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. He said, come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of God that was upon me and what the king had said. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began, and so they began this good work. I think it's an interesting thing, as I was meditating upon this earlier this morning, I thought of these scriptures several times during this past week, and this morning I came to the office early and spent a long time just meditating and talking to the Lord and listening to the Lord. And He began to reveal some things to me about this and some parallels between what was happening there and to some extent what all of us have observed in our own lives at different times. Because sometimes you have walls that get broken down in your own life. And sometimes there are walls that get broken down in the church. And I believe we're facing the fact that walls have been broken down in America. And we are vulnerable to enemies today because the walls are not in place where they used to be and the way they ought to be. And there's something that has to be done about it. And I noticed the first thing, they didn't spend a lot of time trying to figure out how the walls got broken down. Amen. They just didn't spend a lot of time trying to point fingers and blame somebody for the condition. And I think oftentimes when we see a condition that is not appropriate, the first thing we try to do, rather than make the repairs, we try to figure out how did it happen? How did it happen? And you know what? You can spend from now on trying to figure out how certain things happened, and you'll never figure it out. Amen. You'll never get the true story about it. Amen. Because it didn't probably happen like anyone imagine that it happened, but that's not what we need to be interested in. The thing we need to be focused on is rebuilding the walls. Not trying to find somebody to blame, because I don't find any real profit in the blame game. Amen. I've never seen very much accomplished until people forget about who's to blame, what happened, and begin to start rebuilding the walls. Amen. Because there's a lot of work ahead of us. And somebody has to say, let's get focused on the work. Amen. Let's get focused on the work there is to do. And let's do the work that we're supposed to be doing and see the walls reestablished and people living in safety because they've got things back in order the way they need to be. I don't know exactly what happened in America that has torn our walls down. I don't know all the reasons for that. And I'm not going to, I know some people can blame the Supreme Court for decisions they made about the school prayer and reading the Bible. And we start trying to find which political party was in when all this happened so we can blame the politicians. And we try to put the blame somewhere. But that's not the real problem here today. It doesn't really make any difference. What we've got to do is figure out how to fix it. And they didn't spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how to fix it. They just started fixing it. Amen. They just started rebuilding the walls. Amen. And some people think what we've got to do to get the walls rebuilt in this country, we need a brand new political party. You think that's going to help anything? We need to redo our organizational structure. No, that's not what it... He said, get to building. Work on the wall. Don't worry about all that kind of stuff. Get focused on rebuilding the walls. Amen. Because there's been a breach. There's been a breach in the wall. And what happens when there's holes in the wall and breaches in the wall, it allows the enemy to come in and drag off the people, wound the people, leave them wounded and hurt, because there is an enemy out there. Amen. And we've been given weapons of warfare. But I noticed these people, the minute they started rebuilding the wall, there was immediately a show of the enemy. Sanballat and Tobiah and others with them came along and they began to say, what do you people think you're doing out here? Well, we're just building walls. And we ain't got time to talk. Amen. We've got work to do. Yeah, don't you know how these walls got torn down? Don't make any difference how they got torn down. That's not the issue. We're rebuilding these walls. Amen. And the enemy tries to distract us from carrying on the work. Am I shouting too loud about this? He tries to distract us from the work and get us off on some side issue that it doesn't make any difference. We've got to rebuild walls. But here's Sanballat. And there's always those Tobias that always want to sit and talk about things and try to figure everything out. Amen. And Nehemiah and his people were saying, we ain't got time to talk about all this nonsense. It don't matter why the walls are down. The thing that it matters is that we get them built up again. Amen. We get them built up. We've got to strengthen these walls. We've got to stop up these holes. We've got to build up these breaches that are in the walls. We've got to get things back in order so that people can feel the safety and security that is inside the walls of Jerusalem. That's what we got to do. And so they did. They got busy. And it wasn't the work of a handful of people. You know what? It says everybody built. Everybody went to work. Everybody built the part of the wall that was closest to their house. Amen. It was a family project. Everybody got involved. And when the enemy began when they saw how serious the people were, because in a very short time, they had the walls built up halfway. I mean, why? Because they all had a heart to work. Amen. Amen. When somebody says there's a need for a 3-year-old Sunday school teacher, there's too many people volunteered. Amen. Well, I just threw that in. Amen. Brother Bull, appreciate that. But that's the real... See, everybody was working. Everybody was involved. Everybody had stopped trying to blame somebody for the walls being broken down. Go this way right here. They weren't involved in that. They were working. They were too busy. And when the distractions came at first, it was criticism. And then it was after they got through the criticism, they'd faced that, went right on working. Then they came back with ridicule. Sanballat and Tobiah came back with ridicule. They said, old Tobiah said, why, whatever they build, if a fox got up on it, it'd just crumble away. Ridiculing them. Trying to say, whatever they do is not going to make any difference. They're not going to be able to build a wall that'll have any strength in it. And you know what? They didn't even answer that charge. They just kept building. Amen. They didn't pay any attention to what people said. They could make it sound ridiculous, but they were in there building the walls. Amen. They just kept working. Let's say it together. They just kept working. They just kept working. They just kept building. Well, it got serious. And the enemy decided he wasn't going to be able to stop them by talk or by ridicule. He was going to have to bring, he was going to have to infiltrate. He was going to have to infiltrate their ranks and actually attack them from the inside, right what they were doing. But Nehemiah said, we saw what they were doing. We understood their objective. We knew what they were trying to accomplish. We knew what the enemy was trying to avoid. He did not want the walls rebuilt. But he said, I just told half of my people to work and the other half stand guard. Amen. Then I told those that were working, hold your weapon in one hand and work with the other hand. Because we're not going to let the enemy defeat us. If we got to hold a weapon in one hand and our trowel in the other hand, we're going to build these walls. Well, that thwarted that deal too. The enemy was exposed again. His plan was exposed again. And they continued to work on the walls until they were completed. Until it was finished and every gate was in place. Oh, I thought of the things that have to be, that somehow got knocked out of the wall. I thought of a lot of things that got knocked out of the wall that made holes in the wall. I started naming stones this morning. Stones that had been knocked out of the wall and allowed a hole in the wall. Amen. We got to find that stone of integrity and get it back in there. We got to find that stone of truth and put it right back there where it belongs. We got to find that stone of commitment and put it right back in the wall, because no church will ever accomplish anything without people who are totally committed and ready to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to see the walls restored. Hallelujah. Oh yes, let's praise the Lord. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. And I guarantee you've got some stones in your own mind that need to be put back in the wall. And you know what? You're going to find some of these stones and you're going to help them. You're going to put them back in the wall, because we want a wall to be strong. And it has to be. That stone of faithfulness has to get back in there. That stone of love has to be back in there. Amen? It's got to get back in there. That stone of peace, that's got to get back in the wall. Because you see, when we get holes in the wall, as I've already said, it allows the enemy to come in. And instead of trying to argue about who's to blame, we got to just stop the holes. Amen. We got a work to do. Why? Because there's a lot of people out there that belong in the city. Because Nehemiah realized that some of the exiles were away off from where they needed to be. But when they returned, and he believed they would return, the exiles would return. And when they did return, he wanted them to have a safe place. He wanted them to be protected. So the walls and the gates had to be in the city, surrounding that city, so that it had some security there. Amen. And I believe that's what God wants us to regain. He wants us to regain a sense of security. And the quickest way to get that is get the walls rebuilt. Amen. And it won't happen as long as we're concentrating on other matters. I fell under heavy conviction this morning, because when I came here, I knew there were holes in the wall, and I didn't weep, I didn't fast, I prayed somewhat. But my heart wasn't broken. And I asked God to forgive me, because there's a work to be done here. And we didn't get focused just right. But I think we're getting refocused now on the real issue. The real issue is the wall. not how it got into that condition, not who's to blame for anything. The issue is the wall. And we've got to do our best, standing together as a body of people, not be distracted by anything that the enemy out there somewhere might attempt to do. We are not going to be distracted by what he may be trying to do. We are going to continue with the work with a weapon of praise in one hand and with the trowel or the hammer or whatever it takes in the other hand. The wall is going to be rebuilt. It is going to be rebuilt. It is going to, let's say it, it is going to be rebuilt. Let's say it again. It is going to be rebuilt. Because we're going to focus on the wall and not on anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to be distracted by whatever anyone may say. We're just going to build the wall. Amen. We're going to restore and replace, put in place integrity and truth and honesty and uprightness and faithfulness and love and peace. We're going to get those stones in place. Because when we do, the enemy can't penetrate the united efforts of God's people who refuse to be distracted by anything Sanballat and Tobiah may throw against us. Amen. We've got to rebuild this wall. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? I want you to stand up on your feet if you're on. I'm ready. I'm ready for that, Pastor. I'm ready for that. I'm ready to see this wall rebuilt. Hallelujah. And I'm ready to go to work. Amen.